Morning. Thank you all very much for coming. And today's daf is daf Chavav. We're still dealing with the topic of sandal, that is when they're twins. And one twin crushed the other so that the other comes out smashed like a sandal. So what are the laws of that discharge? Is that a birth? Is there tumas leida, etc.? We are learning this morning, be a merit. The Ilui Nishmas Meira Chai Nachama Bracha Lea Shalom Bas David Mordechai says the Gemara the bottom here of Chafei Amid Beis Sandal Ditznan Gabi Bechoros. What are we going to do with the Mishnah in regards to Bechoros? The Mishnah says Hamapela Sandal Oshilya Abachrayim Bechor LeNachlavein Bechor LeKohen. That if a woman had a discharge of a sandal, and the child that comes later is not of the status of Bechor in regards to the laws of Kahuna, he wouldn't have to be redeemed, but he is the firstborn in regards to getting a double portion. So, I don't understand. My Hilchasa, why would I need a Mishnah to tell us this? If every time there's a sandal, there's a twin who comes with him. So of course, the twin who came with him means that the next child is not going to be Bechor Lekoh. Sandal makes the next child not a Bechor LeKohen. The twin who comes with it makes the next child not a Bechor LeKohen. Answers the Gemara, Leba Achrav. It's not referring to a next child who comes a year later. It's referring to the next child who comes with the sandal. In other words, in Bechoros, it's when the sandal was out first. And then right away, right after the sandal, came the twin. I mean, I don't know, 10 minutes later, an hour later, how long does it take for two twins to come out? Then came out the twin. So Mishnah is saying, since the sandal came first, the twin is not considered Bechor in regards to Kohen. The Ba'achrav, and it's saying, he's Bechor LeNachla, he ain't Bechor LeKohen. He is Bechor LeNachla, he's the firstborn in regards to getting a double portion. He's not the Bechor in regards to being redeemed.
Is that why that other couples child?
Partially. Good, yeah. At least on some level. At some level it's a child to prevent the other twin from being considered Bechor LeKohen. Yes.
But not necessarily for Tumah, is that what you're saying?
Well, we said for Tumah was a child also.
Okay.
Yeah, but if it's the twins.
Yes.
And the first one is a boy, still you do Ben, no?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what about the next Mishnah? Sandal Ditznan Gabi Krisus. What about sandal in regards to Krisus? What do I need that for? The Mishnah says in Krisus, it has a list of when you have to bring a carbon. So it says that if a woman had a discharge of a sandal, she has to bring a carbon of a Yoledes, a carbon of a woman who gave birth. She has to bring a carbon Chatas. I don't understand. What do I need that for? A sandal was crushed by his twin. So if there was a sandal, it was also a twin. So the twin already makes her obligated to bring the carbon yoledes. Why does the Mishnah have to say that the sandal makes her obligated to bring the carbon yoledes? The twin made her obligated to bring the carbon yoledes because that's a regular baby. So why do you have to say sandal will make her obligated to bring the sacrifice of a woman who gives birth? Sandal that's not gabe krisus. Lemay ilchasa. What do I need this Mishnah for? In krisus. The sandal obligates her to bring a carbon. Of course, the twin makes her have to bring the carbon. And so the Gemara, you could have a situation where the twin would not obligate to bring a carbon. The Gemara is going to propose two proposals of how you could have a twin the birth of the twin did not obligate a carbon. Either the birth of the twin was through a C-section, they cut open the stomach and took the twin out, or, according to the opinion that even a C-section is a birth, the way that the twin did not obligate to bring a carbon is that when the twin was born, she was still a Goya. And she was converting. When the sandal came out, she was a Jew. So we'll see these two answers. Says the Gemara, sandal the tzan gabi krisus. Why do I have to have a Mishnah on krisus on dav zayinu in beis? And if a woman has a discharge of a sandal, she has to bring a sacrifice because she's a woman who gave birth. Why do I need to tell me that the sandal makes her bring the sacrifice? The twin makes her bring the sacrifice. It's the Gemara, Shim Telet Vlad Derech Tofen, if the twin came out as a C-section. See, that does not obligate in a sacrifice. Then the sandal was Derech Rechem, the sandal came out through the womb. through the birthing canal, the ma'isi karban sandal. Mishnah to tell you that she has to bring a sacrifice for the sandal. What about the Rabbi Shimon's Amar Yotzei Derech Tofen Vlad Ma'al Yehu? When Rabbi Shimon says a baby coming out through a C-section also is a regular birth and has to bring a sacrifice for it. So Michael Amir, why do I have to have a Mishnah tell me that if a woman gave birth to a sandal, she has to bring a karban? Of course, if she gave birth to a sandal, she also had a regular birth, and the regular birth obligates her in the karban. I tell me the regular birth may have been a C-section. So what? According to Rabbi Shimon, a C-section also obligates the karban. Rabbi Yirmiyah answered, Shim Tevet Vlad. If the first baby came out when she was a Gaya, and it came out regularly, then she went to the mikvah, and when she comes out of the mikvah, she's Jewish, and then she has the sandal, Achashen is Gaira, she has the sandal after she gave birth, to Maisi Karbana sandal, Mishnah to teach me that the sandal's a birth, and therefore she has to bring a Karban for the sandal. So basically what we have here, right, is two different Mishnayos. Remember, they're talking about these twins, right? One twin is normal, the other twin is crushed, is smashed into a sandal shape. And we're saying in these two different Mishnayos that the order of how they're coming out is in two different orders, right? The Mishnah in Bechoros is saying the sandal prevents the next child from being a Bechor LeKohen. So that means that the sandal came out first, and then came out the twin. The Mishnah in Krisos is saying a sandal will obligate in a karban. That means that the regular child, according to the second answer, the regular child came out first when she was a Gaya, and the sandal came out when she's a Jewess. So the sandal obligates in a carbon. That means the sandal came out second. So Amru Rabbanan, Hamed Rav Papa. The students in the yeshiva, the rabbis, told these answers to Rav Papa. And they asked the following question. Mi isnu lahani shinuya. Can you really live with these answers? Can these answers work? Can you say that Mishnah Krisus about Karbanos is saying the baby first and the sandal second, and the Mishnah in Bechoros about the laws of Bechor is saying sandal first and the healthy baby second? But didn't we learn in a Braisa, Kishen Yotzen, when a sandal comes out with its twin, and Yotzen Ela Kruchen, they come out attached to each other, right? Because one crushed the other. So they're bonded together. They're coming out together. So if they're coming out together, it's not that one comes out first and then the other one. Rav Papa gave them an answer to the rabbis. He said, Shmamina, you see from all these discussions that when we say that they're crushed together, that they're attached to each other, it's not that they're head to head. Mikrich karach le vlad le sandal apalge. The sandal and the baby, the healthy baby, are attached to each other, but like this. The baby that's healthy is up to halfway of the sandal, and he's umishal chifle klape reshe, and he's pushing the sandal out with his head. His head is pushing the sandal out at around the sandal's belly button, and therefore, so they are attached, but like this. They are attached like this, and therefore it works out. Gabi Bechoros, in regards to Bechoros, where we wanted to say that the sandal came out first, and then came out the healthy baby. Where these two came out by the head. So if they come out by the head, so the sandal's head, or where the sandal's head should have been, is going to be first. So that's where the sandal comes out first, and then comes out the healthy baby. However, the sandal called them enough. The sandal comes out first. However, Gabi Krisus, in regards to Krisus, it's not where they came out through the head, like this. They came out through the feet. These twins came out through the feet. And therefore, the Vlad, Kadam Anafik, the child who's healthy, is going to come out first. And that's why the Mishnah said in Krisus, this Chiddush, even if the child who's okay came out first, when she was a Gaya, by the time the sandal's coming out, she's a Jewess, there is the obligation of, for the sandal, there's an obligation of a Karban. Another answer, Rav Huna bar Tachlifa, Mishmei de Rava, Amar Rav Huna, the son of Tachlifa, said in the name of Rava, Afilu ter mitzumtzam. No. When we said that the sandal and the healthy baby are attached to each other, maybe they're literally side by side, attached to each other. But even so, once you've introduced this answer, that there's a difference between babies that come out feet first and babies that come out head first, that can resolve this question too. Ipach Shmaitza, just flip what was what. Now, it's got to be Bechoros in regards to the Mishnah and Bechoros, where you want to say that the sandal came out first. Shiatsu derech magalosem, where the two of them came out by their feet. If they came out by their feet, Vladis bechiyusa, the healthy baby, he's got chiyus, he has life. So he doesn't want to come out. He doesn't want to come out. So he fights the coming out. Therefore, Karach, he's going to grab with his hands on the womb of the mother and try to come out, not come out, below nothing, and resist coming out. Whereas the sandal, this crushed baby, that's Bechiyus, he's got no life anymore. He's been crushed into a sandal. So Sharak Benafel, he slips and comes right out. Therefore, he's going to come out first. However, Gabi Krisus, in regards to Krisus, there was the other way, where we said that the healthy baby came out when she was a Gaya, and the sandal came out when she was a Jewess. I'll tell you why. Sheyatsu derech Hashayin, because they came out head first. And if they come out head first, Vladis bechiyusa, the healthy baby has life. So since he has life, midinafik reishe, havileda. Once his head comes out, he's already considered born. So since they're coming out head first, once the head came out, he was born right away. Whereas the sandal, since it doesn't have life, adinafik rubya, it's only considered born once most of it comes out. So therefore, it's going to come out second, because it doesn't. It's going to take a little bit longer for most of it to come out, because first only the head came out. So once, right, they're coming out together, head first. So once the healthy baby's head is out, right away he's born. Whereas the sandal, the head's been crushed. That's not born yet. Only when the two of them are majority out is the sandal born. So the sandal is second. So if in that amount of time it takes to go from the head out being to the majority of it being out, the woman converted, then the sandal will obligate in bringing a carbon. Yeah, question, Baruch.
But you answered some of the question, but the question is why they put a value for a sandal crushed who is not even breathing, who is not, you know, is a normal formed human being. So it changes all the rules because of the sandal situation there.
We know he was okay. We know that his brother crushed him. I mean, God put it together in that way. But.
So the brother is a murderer already?
He's not a murderer. This is the way it was. Nature. It's what nature was.
They were connected and it crushed him? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the two crushed him.
How did he crush him if they were
attached to each other? One approach is that he put his head into him, right? He was pushing him, and the other one is...
But is the body of the sandal, is it fully formed? Or
I don't think so. It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's a sandal.
That's exactly what the car is dealing with, how much of a child it really is.
Right? Yeah. Okay, we have the great privilege on Daf Chavav Amud Aleph to start with the next Mishnah. Shulya Babayis. Let's say there is this sack, the afterbirth, that the baby was in. It's now in the house, right? The placenta and stuff. It's in the house. The house is tame. Abai is tame. The room is tame. Explains the Mishnah. Lo shashul yavlad. Not because the sack and the placenta is a child. Elisha ain't shul yavlad. If there was a sack, there must have been a child. So presumably the child was born and the sack came out and maybe the child has disintegrated. But he was born and therefore there was tame here and therefore the house is tame. However, Rav Shimon says, no, maybe not. There is no tumah. Why? Because nimo kavlad ad shelo yatza. We have to suspect that it's likely, well, actually the majority of the time is what's going to happen, is that the little baby that's getting from this placenta disintegrated when it was still inside the mother's womb. And it became blood. And this blood was overruled by the majority of the other blood coming out of her. She has all sorts of blood coming out of her in childbirth. So the blood that had been her baby has lost its identity in the blood that's coming out of her, and therefore everything is tahor.
Why wouldn't the assumption be that the baby is not in the room? I mean, the baby was born, the placenta is left, the baby is...
The baby left, he crawled out, I guess. I guess we don't see, we know that a baby can't move right away, and she's still here, the mother's here.
So the assumption is that the baby, there was something...
There was a baby that came out, and it disintegrated. Well, that's
because,
the Tanakh.
Because there's nothing wrong with the placenta if the baby was healthy, right?
Correct. Yes. That's
what is afterbirth is in the house? What does that mean, afterbirth?
The placenta. There's a sack that produces nutrients in this term. Taner Abana, we learned in a Braisa. What does this sack look like? Shilya. Chilasa. on one side, it's Doma L'chut Shel Arev. It's like the threads that go horizontally in the weaving loom. So far, the other side, where it gets bigger, is Doma Keturmus. It's like this lentil, turmus. It's a little bit wider. Chalula Kachal Tzatzeres. She is hollow like a trumpet. The ain shulya plusami tefach, and it's at least a tefach big. So the only time we have this load, if you find a shulya in a room, the room is tame. That's if the shulya is at least a tefach large. If Shimon Gamliel, Omer Shimon Gamliel says shulya when it makes the tumah, we're talking about is doma lekorkavan shel tarnagol. It's like the korkavan of the chicken. Shadak and Yotzen Mimena, with the intestines coming out of it. But if it's not that big, then it doesn't create the impurity. Tanya, we're looking at Bryce, Rabbi Shaya, who was the Ira Domin Chavraya, the youngest in the yeshiva. So Tanya, Rabbi Shaya, the youngest in Chavraya, Rabbi Shaya, the youngest of the yeshiva, said, Chamisha Shiurun Tefach. There are five things in halacha where the measurement is a tefach. Eluhain, these are the five. Shilya, when you find the sack of the afterbirth in the room, it has to be at least a tefach big, as we just said. Shofar, a shofar needs to be at least a tefach large to be able to fulfill the mitzvah and Rosh Hashanah with it. Shidra, the spine of the lulav, has to be a tefach taller than the hadasim and the aravos. Dofen sukkah, the third wall of the sukkah, has to be at least a tefach. And the ezov, when you need the hyssop branches for the purification of a leper, Mitzora, and the purification of somebody's tummy mace, it has to be at least a tefach. Shulya hadamar, shulya is what we just said. You find a shulya in a room, the room is tame, that's when the shulya is at least a tefach. Shofar the tani, shofar is what we learned in a brisa. Tamiye shiur, shofar. How long does the shofar have to be? Here, Shem Shem Gamliel, Shem Gamliel says, Kadesh Shiur Zene Biyadu, enough for you to hold it in your hand, the year of Lakan Lakan, and still have a little bit to see on one side, a little bit to see on the other side. So now you hold in your hand, you have four fingers. A tefach is five fingers.
Yep.
So you have a little bit here and a little bit there. That means it's totally a tefach. Shidramai, where was the law in regards to the spine of a lulav? I'm Rabbi Parnach, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Parnach taught us in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Shidru shalulav, the spine of the lulav, tzarech shiyah yotzim in the hadas tefach. It has to go past the hadas, another tefach, in order to have a very visible shaking. All right, so we've gone through three. Shilya, shofar, and lulav. Now, fourth, dofen sukkah, the wall of the sukkah. The time of the nebraisa, shtayim kil chasan. Two walls have to be full size, seven tefachim. Ushlish is the third wall. Afi the tefach can be a tefach. And now, four. Ezov, the hyssop. The Tani Rebkia said that branch of hyssop that you use to dip into the wood of the paraduma or to burn with the paraduma is a tefach, ezov tefach. It has to be at least a tefach big. Amr b'chini bar papa. B'chini bar papa said, Darish shila. Shila ish kfar tim rasa taught. Tlas mas nisa. Three brisos. Etarti shmaitza. And two of these things are not Tanaitic lessons. These are just lessons of Amoraim, where shiura tefach, where the measure is a tefach. So Gemara says, Tarti, two of these are shmaitz, or lessons of Amoraim. Hadi, only one. And that is that the spine of the lulav has to be a tefach larger than the hadas. The other four things are all mishnaik. They're Tanaitic. Amar Abaye said, this that Reb Chiya, this you say the name of Reb Chiya about the Ezov, don't say Tani Reb Chiya, which is that it's some brisa that Reb Chiya was relating. Ema Amar Reb Chiya, just say it as Reb Chiya taught, Ezov Tefach. The Ezov, whenever you need it, both for the sprinkling of the waters of Paraduma and the burning together with the Paraduma and using it to sprinkle on the Mitzora, it has to be a Tefach. So now the Gemara talks about other areas in Halacha where we find Tefach. The Suleka, is it only five areas in Halacha where the measurement is a Tefach? Vayika, what about the fact of an Ohel? We know that if you have a dead body under the same roof as something else, the other thing becomes tummy, but they have to be in one structure. So therefore, we learned in a Mishnah, tefach al tefach, when you have a tefach length with a tefach width, Al rum tefach, with the height of a tefach, miruba, that's a square. Then maybe it's a tumah. Then it can transmit tumah. But if you have somewhere under this square a piece of a dead body, and somewhere else you have, I don't know, some liquids, the liquids become tumah. Utumas oel. And chotis bifnei atumah. And if you had a tefach of space, and then a roof, and then on top of it something else, the thing on top of that roof is not going to become tumah. So why don't you quote that? There's a halach of tefach. So you have six halachos of tefach, not just five. And so the Gemara tefach karmin, and he wanted to teach you laws of tefach. Tefach al tefach lo karmin. Didn't want to teach you a law of tefach by a tefach, with the height of a tefach. All right, but even in laws of tefach, there's another case. And that is in regards to what is considered the handle of a utensil. So the law of a handle of a utensil is that the handle is considered part of the utensil. And therefore, if there would be a tumah in the utensil, then the things on the handle would also become tummy because they're considered part of the utensil. So we learned ha'ika. Evan ayotze minatanu. Let's say you have a stone attached to your oven. So if this stone is a tefach, right, between the oven and the wall, there's a stone attached to the oven. If this stone is a tefach, so then we say that's considered a handle. That's not considered a handle. It's too big. It's too big, a whole tefach. So it's not a handle. It's going to be cut down. Therefore, it's not considered part of the oven. And if there's tumah on it, it doesn't become... I'm sorry, if there's there's tumah in the oven, there's some item on this stone, the item's not going to become tummy. It's not considered part of the oven.
When it's attached to the oven?
Correct. But it's so big, we know it's going to be cut down.
Rabbi, what is the relationship between all of these, the shofar and the lula?
Just that they all need the same size.
And nida, yeah.
They all have the same measure.
About nida, Rabbi,
yeah, but we talked about the shilya, so that tells us the law of tumah. Yeah. You're talking about the shilya, which has to be a tefach. You talk about other things that have to be a tefach. And minakira, if you have a stone going out of the kira oven, then it's shalosh etzbos. It's like, up to three fingers.
Like
this amount is chibur, is considered connected. So list this one. This situation of tefach. There's a law of a tefach that the stone can be up to a tefach. If it's more than a tefach, it's going to be cut off, and therefore it's not considered the handle anymore. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara, no. Ki kamin, our list of five cases of tefach, is where debatsami tefach lo chazi. It has to be a tefach, and less than a tefach, it wouldn't work. Now let's say in a sukkah. If you had a wall that's less than a tefach, it's not a kosher sukkah. Avalach, but over here, what's the idea? If there's a tefach, it's still considered part of the oven. If it's more than a tefach, then not. Avalach, but over here, koshkin debatsami tefach yatan or ho. But certainly, if it's less than a tefach, it's certainly part of the oven. It's certainly the handle. It's not going to be cut off. And then it's part of the oven, so therefore that's not listed. All right, again, we had a list of five cases where the law is we need tefach. Shilya, shofar, lulav, sukkah, and ezel. Ask the Gemara, I have a sixth case. Now turning to Chavav, Amud Beis. Tanure banos. The little ovens made for the little girls to play dolls with, which are tefach. If they are a tefach, they can become tameh. The Tanner we learned in a Braisa. Tanner, when you have a big oven, Tchilaso, when it's made initially, if it's Arba, if it's four Tvachim tall, it can become Tami. If it was four Tvachim tall and then cut down, Shiraya, if as long as what's left is still Arba Tvachim, it's still four Tvachim, it stays Tami. Give Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir. Chachamim, Chachamim will say, no, but Medvar Mormon, is this true? Begadol, in a big oven. Aval Bekatam, but in a small oven, Tchilaso Kalshu, it can be much smaller when it starts. Once you finish making it, and shirayav, and what's left over from a big oven, the rubo, only if the majority is left over does it stay tummy. If the majority has been cut out, it is no longer tummy. Kamakolshu, what does it mean? Even a little bit of the oven can stay. Even a small little oven just made is tummy. I'm Rabbi Yanai Tefach. Rabbi Yanai says if the oven was a tefach, shekenos and tanure banos, because those are the ovens that they make for the little girls to play with. Tefach, the size of a tefach. It's the Gemara. That's true. So there is an opinion that you can have a kli, a dal oven, and as long as it's a tefach, it's tameh. So that's where you have another measure of tefach. But look to lokamai. That was only the opinion of the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir seemingly disagrees. Rabbi Meir seems to say you need it to be four tefachim for it to be tummy. One tefach not. So we don't want to list something which is a machlokas. So I said, one second, Hashem das lachi. So now you've come to this idea that we don't want to list things that are only in a machlokas. Hanami, the question that we asked, why didn't we list the case of the handle of an oven? That if the stone coming out of the oven is a tefach, then it's considered part of the oven. But more than that, not. Look, that's a machlokas. Tani Sefer, because it says there in the end, Amar Rebuta, Rebuta says, Lo Amru, when did they say that the stone coming out of the oven is considered a handle of the oven when it's a tefach? Elamin atana v'lakosel. Only if it's going from the oven to the wall. And if it's more than a tefach, it's already not comfortable. And therefore, it's going to be cut down. But when the oven is on the other, and the stone is on the other side of the oven, from the oven towards the house, even more than a tefach, it is not a problem. And it's considered the handle. And the Chacham disagree and say, even when it's going towards the house, the measure is only a tefach, and more than a tefach is not a handle. So that's where Boshaya didn't want to mention this halacha, because this is halacha of a tefach, but it's a halacha that has a machlokas in it. And he wanted to mention halachos of tefach that don't have any argument about them. Ask the Gemara, why did Boshaya mention five things that have a halacha of tefach? There are many others. Ikam is geras tefach, the rim around the table in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Shulchan, was a tefach. We don't want to list things that are just explicit in a pasuk. Okay, Ayika Kaporas, but what about the roof, the cover of the Aron, also was a tefach. B'kachim lo kamai, I didn't want to talk about Korbanos, Beit HaMikdash stuff. Ayika Dai lo Korshi Erechav a tefach. We know back in Masechet Erevin that if you have a city street that has three walls around it, Midr Avani, you're not allowed to carry in that street, even though it has three walls. Because a lot of people are in that street. You have to do something to show that you made a sheet of mevuos. And you've included everybody in the street. So what do? You have to put food for a meal in one courtyard. And you have to put at the front of the street a crossbeam, a korah. And it says, Dai l'kor she'rach b'tefach. A korah is enough if it's a tefach wide. So why isn't that listed? You have to have a width of a tefach for a korah to be kosher. Drabanan lo kamayi. He's not talking about dinim drabanan. What is he talking about? Elabitik Sivan. He's talking about dinim which are biblical, psukim, like sukkah, shofar, lulav. But the lomufar shishi urayu, where the pasuk doesn't explain their measure, he's explaining the measure is a tefach. Okay, now we're going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if you find a shilya in the room, then the room is tame, according to the Tanakama, and according to Rabbi Shimon, he disagrees, the room is not tame. Yazir Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta kamed Rav Kahana. Rav Yitzchak, the son of Shmuel, the son of Marta, was sitting in front of Rav Kahana. The Yazir Vekamer, he was sitting and saying the following, I'm Rav Yudah Marav. Rav Yudah said the name of Rav. Let's say you have a birth, and then after the birth comes the afterbirth, comes the shilya, comes the sac, comes the placenta. So if kol shlosh yam rishonim, if it came within the first 3 days of the birth, tohna sashilya bivlat, he said this afterbirth was from this child. But if it happens later, let's say it happened 5 days after the birth, 10 days after the birth, then we say, no, maybe this afterbirth was not from the first child. Maybe there was a second child. And as we just learned in our Mishnah, when you have a shilya and you don't see the child, we assume the child came out and disintegrated. So the child came out and disintegrated, and we say she has to have tumah of a nekeva, of a female of 2 weeks. Amar leis, Rav Kahana said back, Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, Omi Amar Rav Hachi, is this really true that the Rav said such a thing? Amar Rav, but Rav told us that when you have twins, Ein Havlad Misakev Achar Chaveiro Klum, the second one's not going to wait anything after the first. They come out right away. So how can you say that you had a baby, and now you're going to have another baby 10 days later, which disintegrates? How's that going to happen? The twins come out right away. Ishtik, Rav Yitzchak was quiet. Amar leis, and Rav Kahana said to him, Duma, maybe I can resolve it. Kan b'neifa, when Rav said what you said, that the shilya that comes out more than three days after the first birth, we are worried that maybe there was another birth with that shilya, and therefore there's a second tuma. That's when the first birth was a neifa. The first birth was dead. So if the first birth was a baby that's dead, then maybe there is a second baby and it coming out later. Maybe 3 days later. And Rav said that when twins come out, the second one's coming out right after the first, that's when the first one comes out healthy. When the first one comes out healthy, certainly the second one is coming right out. Amar Lei, Rav Yitzchak said back to Rav Kahana, At Amrit Lishmaitza de Rav. You think this is a new insight of yours? The Feirish Amar Rav Haki. Rav explicitly said that exact point. He peel it, they fell. If what came out of her was a dead baby, and then came an afterbirth, if the afterbirth came within the first 3 days, told us that this afterbirth was from this dead baby. If it happens after the 3 days, then we are worried that maybe there was really another baby for that afterbirth. However, Yolda, if what she, oh, thank you, what came out wasn't a navel, it came out was a healthy baby. And then later comes after birth. Even if it's 10 days later, we're not worried that maybe there's another baby. We say, no, this afterbirth is from that healthy baby that came out, and therefore she is not tame because of the afterbirth. Shmuel, the Talmid of the Rav, Shmuel and the students of Rav, and of Yehuda. Havu Yasvi, they were sitting. Chalifa Azel, Rav Yosef, Bidra Menashe, Midvil, Apayu. Rav Yosef, the son of Menashe from Dvil, came before them. Bali Vasi, he was hurrying, he was running. Amar, so Shmuel said, Asilan Gavra, Dramina Le Begila Dechitza. A person's coming to us that we can push him over with the hay of wheat. In other words, he doesn't know his things that well. We can ask him some, you know, soft questions, you know, softballs as they would say, and he's gonna strike out. He's gonna fall right over. He's gonna be Umarmi Umar. We can challenge him up and then push him over. Alright, Adachi Yasi. So after he made this critical comment, Rav Yosef arrives. Amarle Shmuel, so Shmuel then said, I am a Rav Bishuli. What did Rav say about afterbirths? Amrle, he said, Achim Rav, this is what Rav said. Ain't told us a shilya. Ela b'davishol kayama. If the baby that came out that was dead could have been alive, in other words, it had lived the full 9 months, had a full 9 months of pregnancy, and then it came out, so then we say that the shilya that comes out later was from it. However, if the baby that came out doesn't look like it's viable, right? It wasn't 9 months of gestation. It had the shape of an animal, of a bird. So then, if the shilya comes out even within 3 days, we don't say that the shilya was from this baby. We say that the shilya is a sign of some other baby, and there is tuma. So that's again. He said, this fellow who wasn't so accurate, Rav Yosef said, "Hachi Amar Rav." This is what Rav said. Ein tolan es hashilya. We can only make this assumption that the shilya is based on the baby if the baby seems viable. Shailinu Shmuel had seemed viable at one point. Shailinu Shmuel l'chol tamid the Rav. So Shmuel asked all the other students of Rav, did you hear this? Amri le hachi, did Rav say this? V'amri le, no, they said to him, hachi, yeah, Rav said it. Hadar chazil Rav Yehuda bishu. So then Shmuel looked at Rav Yehuda with being very upset. So he said, why didn't you tell me this earlier? Right? Why did you only tell me earlier that that Rav said this law that you only can you can only ascribe the shilya to the baby if the baby seemed fully finished and somewhat viable. Okay, stop here. Sure.